Daily today, the second part. The first part came your way at 6:10 this morning. It's 7:32 from our studios here. Good morning to you, Lagos. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
That's right. You can watch us on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch on those two platforms. And please drop your comment, engage with others respectfully, and let us know what you think about the stories that we've brought for you today. We're going to start with the Punch newspaper, page 26. Sanwo-Olu denies fraud. Assembly orders probe.
Well, I don't think anybody has actually said fraud. But I don't know whether it's the newspaper that added the word fraud or whatever. But the messy situation that we had that was highlighted by Mr. Funsho Duarte, which will be further explained excuse me, in this video on Saturday, has led to all this. And the newspaper says that the governor on Tuesday addressed the concerns raised over the procurement process in the state, describing as untrue allegations that he used state funds to pay $200 million to lawyers who defended his election in court. You know that there were four lawyers, of course, senior advocates, one of them extremely highly respected and elderly, in which it was said that the governor had used state funds to pay for their services in the election petition panel. And this particular one was highlighted by Rhodes Vivor, of course, who you all know, the Labour Party candidate. You know, and it says that he also said that it was erroneous. The claim that $2 billion was spent by the office of the deputy governor to purchase rechargeable fans, rechargeable lights, refrigerators, amongst others. The State House of Assembly on Tuesday has ordered a probe into the allegations to establish the facts of the story. One of the casualties of this incident, unfortunately, is my very good Abura and friend Gbenga Omotosho, a highly respected journalist when he was practicing. And that should tell some of our professionals to be very careful when you are given appointments, to be extremely careful when you are given appointments with this. These politicians don't care. You know, they don't, I mean, and that's, I don't need to give an example. They don't give a hoot. Where they're headed is where they're headed. Because I'm sure later in the evening, after Gbenga, my good Abro, would have seen his interview, you know, in the social media and his explanation. I'm sure I don't know whether he'll be chuckling or he'll feel embarrassed. I'm sorry to go personal, but I like to use these things to cite examples, especially to professionals, accountants, lawyers, information people. You need to be careful with politicians. This is what Gbenga said yesterday, Mr. Omotosho. And I will read it out in the Punch. And I want you to look at the logic of it. We will examine the logic of it. We will not allow politicians throw anything at us. We will question, and this idea that everybody who queries these things, even though he's making a good statement, but will not allow any malicious, there's nothing malicious. If he says he didn't have a government, the statement didn't have, didn't have a government stamp. I don't know about that, but listen, let me read the story. A statement on Tuesday by the State Commissioner for Information, Gbenga Omotosho, described as untrue allegations that the governor paid legal fees for personal electoral lawsuits from the state's coffers. I just wished he had stopped there. But he went further to say, a post on X by Labour Party, Rhodes Vivor, in November 2022, without any proof whatsoever, that the Lagos State government funded Sanwo-Olu's legal dispute after the election. And then he says, the allegation was supported by a document that neither carried the logo of the Lagos State government nor the endorsement of any of his officials. That is what he says, he didn't carry the logo. It was simply another ploy to deceive the public about a non-existent payment of $50 million to four lawyers. Then he now says that, oh, there was a payment request which was not approved by Mr. Governor, for God's sake. The governor has his private suit. Who made the payment request? Omotosho should tell us. And how did, if he, who made that payment request and in what capacity? I don't think he thought it through before he threw that pigeon to us to grab. That there was a payment request by Mr. Governor when it was not approved, okay, by the when the Attorney General and Commissioner of Justice drew his attention to it because it was irregular. It wasn't irregular. Not that it was irregular. Had it gone through, it's almost an impeachable offense. So we should not treat it with levity. Now, this is the government private business. So who put it in? You see the contradictions. So who is that fellow that put it in? We should investigate. And the government should be concerned to find out who did this to embarrass the governor. You know, we should not just dismiss it with the wave of a hand. This contradiction is extremely worrying. Extremely worrying. And as a member of the public, I find it insulting to my intelligence that I'm supposed to buy this. So Mr. Omotosho should please tell us who is, because the lawyers you are talking about are people that we respect in society. One of them is into politics, fair enough. You can, but one of them is 91. He's 91. He's a 91-year-old man. And for his name to be involved in something like this, those of us who are close to him, we want to know who did this. Because if anybody did this, like Omotosho said, that is where the mischief lies. I rest my case.
Okay. Let's go pick up the Daily Trust.
Why did you say no?
No, it's a good way to arrest the case. It's a good way. It's a good way to arrest the case.
I rest my case.
Yes. To the Daily Trust now on page 5, confusion over contradictions in certified true copy of Appeal Court judgment sacking Kano government.
You just hardly ever have something good to talk about. Also, there was a court of appeal, you know, court of appeal judgment, and now it's become a thing of controversy. Let me explain. It says that there was confusion yesterday following the contradictions in the certified true copy of the appeal of court judgment delivered on the Kano state governorship. The appellate court had reaffirmed the sacking of Abba Kabir Yusuf of the New Nigeria People's Party in his judgment delivered on Friday. However, in the CTC of the judgment obtained by Daily Trust, and I give them kudos for this, from the chamber of one of the lawyers in the appeal, several rulings of the court were observed to be contradictory. That is very unfortunate. It is messy and very unfortunate. I don't know if I have a free day. It would have been nice to bring one of the top lawyers here. Because it's going to affect the interpretation of the judgment, but let's see what it is. In the lead judgment delivered by Justice Justice Adumen, the judge held in one of the concluding paragraphs on page 68 that, and I quote, "I will conclude by stating that the live issues in this appeal are hereby resolved in favor of the first respondent against the appellant. The appellant is the governor Abba Kabir Yusuf, while the first respondent is the APC and INEC as second and third and NPP as second and third respondents. The judge went further to hold that in the circumstances, I resolve all the issues in favor of the appellant and against the first respondent. Therefore, I find no merit in this appeal, which is liable to be and is hereby dismissed." And even awarded costs. While the last three conclusions of the judge suggested that the tribunal judgment sacking Yusuf had been set aside and thus restoring his mandate, the first conclusion that resolved the issue in favor of APC suggested that the decision of the tribunal was affirmed. So that I won't bore you this morning, it's too early in the day for you to think these things out. There is now confusion that has gotten to a point where this is gotten to this development. It says that while many NPP stalwarts in the state said they considered the development as favorable to their cause, A lawyer who has not to be named said the confusion might just be a typographical error, insisting that the reasoning on the part of the court in the preceding parts of the judgment aligned with the well-reported decision that Governor Yusuf had been sacked. Okay, so now look at this development too. A counsel to the APC governorship told Daily Trust that the contradiction in the verdict of the panel was clearly a typo and should not elicit the type of reaction it had elicited. I think judgments are clear. The government court pronouncements should be very, very clear. Why this happened, I don't know. But he says that this is not the first time such things will happen in the decision of the court, which is clear to everybody that it is an error. If you have read the judgment, the reasoning is inconsistent, so there is nothing to discuss about. But our good friend, is a lawyer in his chambers of Wale Onanipakun, who is the lead counsel to Governor Yusuf, said the matter is up for only the Supreme Court to interpret. So they want to. I just think it is very, very sad. It is a downer. And incidentally, the election in Kano is very, 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 very volatile. These kind of things should not, and I repeat, should not be happening. So where do you think it's headed? Do you think they might have to go to Supreme Court?
Yes, they will.
They will go there.
They will.
And the lawyers will make more money.
Scratch out season for them.
But let me ask you, Sheriff. I've heard from some lawyers, not in any of these cases now, why some senior advocates I hear avoid political cases is that usually the money is paid from government coffers, and that in some instances it could jolly well be cash. I've heard that before. So we shouldn't, I'm not accusing Chidi Sanwo-Olu of anything, but we need to tidy up that area. It is extremely crucial. And all these errors that are occurring, but I like the reasoning of the other gentleman who came, I think he's some official for finance. He was able to say that, okay, some money allocated for a vehicle for the chief of staff was actually for the chief of staff's office, and that they used that car.
Did you see that money?
I didn't see the money. Now
Did you see the amount?
He said it's 400. He didn't talk about how many cars it was. But
one,
he said,
one bulletproof Lexus.
He said that
car.
He
said one.
That, because if President Obama
is chief of staff to the governor.
No, it's not for him to use. It's for his office for dignitaries. It is for his office for dignitaries. If they are going to buy a vehicle, it will reside, it would of course be given to the chief of staff to handle. So that this car is not for the chief of staff.
I have other questions. What sort of dignitaries is the chief of staff going to handle that the office of the governor cannot handle?
No.
What level?
The chief of staff is part of the governor's office. He's the chief executive of the governor's office.
So I believe that the office of the governor would have their own budget as well. I believe that the fleet of the governor would have their own budget as well. Why do we have to say that the chief of staff must be the one to handle such? Personally, I don't even think that we should be purchasing that amount of car in that amount of money.
Definitely.
If we're going to do that, I keep insisting, we have local vehicle assembly plants here. Why don't you give the specific? What you need is specification. What Lexus, Toyota, all of them, no offense, are doing is the same thing. They give specification to parts manufacturers, and they manufacture for them. And they assemble at the assembly plants.
So you believe that 400 million vehicle is to be?
Let's even assume that it is going to be used. Let's assume that it's going to be used. Either part of it will go to pocket or something. Let's not even think about that one now, which is the usual. I didn't say that. You say that. So we have assembly plants here. We always look for ways to fritter away people's money.
Let us now get to the reality. Budgets in public service are always tinkered with to cover up. Sometimes it's even done officially. Okay, so maybe the DSS wants to buy something. At federal level, for example, the DSS wants to buy some equipment. They can put it under the budget of Ministry of Agri. Also for security reasons, because those who know will be tracing these budgets. What do these people want to buy with this? That happens. You need to give allowance. The only thing is, our politicians need to be more ingenious, and you need to get people who know how to handle things and not make it look so untidy. That's a reality. If the governor wants to pay his lawyers, for example, he should relinquish part of his county budget. We can be dispensed in cash and other means.
And nobody would have to know about it.
Do you understand? Yes. The rumor going around, if we are going to face it down,
is that
Lagos State picked up quite a number of invoices on the political scene. Another thing the politicians need to know is that your civil servants are going to do you in. If you think you're going to be getting away with all these things, maneuvering money, your civil servants, how much is the civil servant paid? Is the civil servant on level 12? You'll be backing on money coming for the guy is, and you're going to have more of this. So this is a soft landing for you. The civil servants, the people, no matter how much tips you give them, they are the ones. You see, God has a way of doing things. You silence the opposition, you silence this one, you silence that one. The thing will grow from within. Trust me. Trust me. There is no way you can get past the civil service, and there is no way you can satisfy their desire in this particular instance. So it's an unfolding drama. Let everybody be warned. And it is also important that those who lead us, federal, state, at whatever, everybody's eyes are open. And there's a vacuum of leadership, which is very dangerous. So if you are drinking your champagne, you better put some money aside. Tell me if you jackpot. If he has not taken.
I think that it's extremely insensitive. I saw a report in one of the papers this morning about how much governors have spent on refreshment, food, and all of those things. And it's highly, extremely insensitive of these governors to be asking their people to endure this horrible inflation that we are in right now while they go on ahead and have life as usual.
And like I said, you see, what we have is that the pedigree of a lot of our politicians is faulty. There are too many, if only Mama could see me now. How can I be commissioner and you expect me to? That's what you get. Look at what the guy did in was it Malawi or where was it? That he banned everybody, including himself. Look at somebody sent me the itinerary of the president since he came in. Travel. What's the result? Things are getting worse. You know, and like I said, because there is no arrowhead, we need to be extremely, extremely careful. And like I told you, a lot of revelations will be coming from within. A lot of revelations will be coming from within. Well, we'll see how that goes. But Mr. Motosho, can you please tell us, and we won't let you rest until you tell us, who is the person who put it in the schedule that the governor... How could the governor's private bill have gotten into a government schedule?
Mr. Motosho, you have been summoned.
The one we are in now is no party for jungle, because the level of suffering of our people is just too much. A popular hypertensive drug yesterday, when I saw the amount, I don't know why at government, local government level, federal, people don't see an impending crisis coming in the health sector, coupled with food crisis. I don't know whether they're going to wait until people are dropping dead, because we don't keep records. We don't keep records.
And that's very tragic.
But now we expect the government... This is where we need palliatives. Whether you're going to run to a factory to somewhere in India or whatever to bring all these non-branded with government seal on them so that you can sell to. There are so many things that you can do to intervene very quickly. Anti-malaria drugs, whatever, go somewhere in India, say, package it. Don't put any fancy packaging, but put our government stamp on it so it can be sold.
So when we emphasize the importance of keeping records and not keeping records, quite a number of people may think that we are trying to exaggerate. And I will paint the picture in this manner. So you are a private citizen. You know how much you bought Gary the last time. When you went to the market last week, you were told another amount. And then you were now saying, but this is the amount I bought the last time. That is keeping record. I mean, at your own level.
Yes.
So you know exactly the difference. You see, the tragic of a nation not having a database, a record of some things, is we will not be able to handle it when the time comes. Because it's whatever anybody tells us that the numbers, that's when we... Okay, so a very good example is, imagine what happened during COVID. Because there was nothing to fall back to. Nothing. We now started hustling and bringing up this, bringing up that. It was at that time we knew that we didn't even have oxygen, whatever, plant in this country.
Well, I'd like to prick the conscience of Professor Abayomi, who did that as a commissioner for health in Lagos, who did so well during the COVID period. I'd like to please, within a week or so, come out and tell we Lagosians how best we are going to go through this health crisis. I mean, because it's staring you in the face. It's staring you in the face. You have a minimum wage of, is it 30,000?
30,000.
An inhaler is about 15.
That's it?
That's it. Hmm. And how do you have an asthmatic who doesn't have an inhaler?
Let's even assume that the asthmatic doesn't even fall ill apart from the,
Doesn't what?
Fall ill.
No. An asthmatic person always must have an inhaler nearby because in just 1 minute, everything can change.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'd like to announce to you that the House of Assembly is setting up a probe. They're going to probe the governor's
spending.
They're going to probe the Sanwo-Olu budget, whatever.
Oh, yes.
Find out
what's
happening.
Mm. They want to, the National Assembly wants to probe the COVID-19 spending too.
That would be good.
Mm. Well, they want to probe it. We should probe it.
Default? Okay.
Killer, sir. What do you
mean? No, I've changed my mind. Let's go to the next one.
Okay, let's go to the next story. This is an editorial. Democracy triumphs in Liberia.
There was a light shining on Africa. You see what it is when you do well. When you do well as an individual and to help your country. You see what it is. By the way, I'm sorry to say this. The handlers of the president have to please take hold of the rhetoric of the public speaking of the president. I'm not talking of the man, I'm talking of the content.
Mm.
Please. And this is not being, you have to take, you need some experts to handle that. Even though I know that he probably would go off course, but please try and tidy it up, because when things are said in the outside world, it is very, very, some things can be embarrassing. Mm. I'll just leave it at that, that every president, has to be, you look at the problem that the gentleman is having, the Secretary of State is having in America with, what's his name now? With the president, Biden.
Biden, okay.
Yes, because Biden sometimes goes a bit off track.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not insulting or anything. And you have to be very firm. Whatever the president says and in whatever manner he says it outside is a reflection on 200 million people. And it shouldn't be taken for granted.
Mm.
Back again here now, Liberia is in the spotlight.
That's right.
When you talk about foreign investors, these are the kind of lights that foreign investors want to see. There was an election, and he conceded defeat. Last week, the trust says that Weah was so affable in defeat, displaying an uncommon sportsmanship in the sub region. He said in his concession speech. He said, "I extend my heartfelt congratulations to President-elect Boakai, his supporters, and his campaign team. May his presidency be marked by the success for all Liberians and may our nation prosper under his leadership. The Liberian people have spoken and their choice will be honored and obeyed. The CDC has lost the election, but Liberia has won. This is a time for graciousness in defeat, a time to place our country above party and patriotism above personal interest. Let us heal the divisions caused by the campaign and come together as one nation and one united people. May the good Lord in his mercy, I pray this morning, I've not eaten anything, but I've washed my mouth. Pray this morning, may the good Lord in his mercy give us people of this character, people of this mold, people of this background, people who are exposed, to make an attempt and hopefully run our country, Nigeria, in the nearest future. Was my prayer wrong?
We have to go. We must go now. Okay. They have said amen to it.
Who did?
People.
All right.
We have to go now. Okay. Lagos, thank you for being a part of it. But you're back on Diabumi at 9.
And it's the only day that I love. I have a break and just let my hair down.
Fantastic.
It'd be interesting because the guy who is coming is a, what do you call this one, matchmaker.
Oh, the same.
That same guy. We need his skills.
Incidentally, I think someone even sent me a message asking for his contact one day like that.
Yeah, a lot of people, and he has a string of successes, ironically. Yeah. Okay. People are looking, it's so difficult to date. You don't know who is who.
Mm-hmm.
You go and date a woman now, you go to her house, next time they will see you, you're in the frying pan. Maybe she's frying your toe or something.
Please don't run, I beg. All right, so he's back at 9 on Daily Digest, yeah, for me. See plenty amen on
amen. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, Ayobami Shola.
Plenty amen here.
It's even reflecting federal character.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's back to Kofi now on the Morning Crossfire Lagos. Stay here, please.
Your say in what we say.
We talk the talk.
People are making so much money. All the money Buhari borrowed to fight insurgency.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.